You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 434. Yeah, 434. That's right. And we're previewing Navy. Time to get back. Time to stop feeling sorry for ourselves in the Notre Dame program and look towards Navy.
One more thing to get out of the way before we move on from
Navy's
the score prediction winner. Musical Day. His picking against Notre Dame finally paid off, and he won some coffee. And I believe he's the only one that actually picked Miami.
He does.
And I don't think he actually believed that Miami would win. He just did that to try to get his coffee.
He just hedges. He picks against the crowd. And it's too often when you're a Notre Dame fan, it pays off. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about these two programs, a little bit about the matchup, and then go through the different position groups and comment on Brian Kelly's comments in the press conference from Tuesday. But just starting with points per game and the kind of yards these teams they give up, how they look. Pretty close points per game. Notre Dame's at 38, Navy's at 30, almost 34. And clearly they do things pretty similar. Both of these teams are based in running the football is where they've had most of their success. Navy is rushing for almost 370 yards per game. Notre Dame's at a few over 300. And then passing, Navy is at 90, almost 99 yards per game, and Notre Dame's at about 170. Defensively, Navy gives up more rushing yards than Notre Dame, and they give up 165, Notre Dame's at 140. Giving up passing yards, they also give up more passing yards, 244 to Notre Dame's 234. So pretty close in the passing yards given up. But those numbers aren't really, because games are so different, depending on how many drives there are, it's just different. The biggest thing I think that's been discussed is who's going to be the quarterback for this Navy team. And Randall, what is the latest with that? Well, last week they had a new starter.
Zach Abey was the guy that started at the beginning of the season. And you can see that if you do watch a season with Navy football. You can see him, how he kind of transitioned that role being the starter. And he started the season as the number one guy. But then he had a little bit of an injury against Temple. And Malcolm Perry... Malcolm Perry took his place and did very well, kind of gave a spark, and he was kind of going through a bad stretch there. So Malcolm Perry did get hurt last week, and he's questionable whether he can play or not. And so it's down to three guys. I mean, it'll very likely be AB or Perry is what it looks like. But they're keeping it quiet. Nobody knows who it's going to be. Now, Malcolm Perry did play. Malcolm Perry did play.
Hold on. Michael Perry is the one that is probably out, right? He's the one that got hurt last week at the end of SMU.
Yes. He did get hurt, but he's just out. He's just listed as day to day, or they haven't said whether he's playing or not.
If he's healthy, he would start.
Yeah,
he had a huge game last week.
They'd want him to start.
Yeah,
is what it looks like. But we'll just have to wait and see. He did play. That was his first game as a quarterback. But he did play as a slot back. But some high praise from Coach. Let me see. I make sure I get his name right.
And I'll just give you some numbers here. So Navy realized that he was one of their best runners, but he was only touching the ball once. In the first 2 weeks, he touched it three times. And then he touched it 10 times against Cincinnati and Tulsa. And then after that, he touched it four times, nine times, three times, five times. And then as a quarterback, he carried it for 33 times. So it's not surprising if you carry the ball that many times that you get hurt. I'm not shocked that it happened. Not saying they shouldn't have done it, but I'm just saying if you carry the ball that many times, you're going to wear down and get hurt. And he carried it for 282 yards and had 4 touchdowns. And he did not attempt a pass.
Yeah, and according to, we'll just call him Coach Ken. I can never say it right. I'm not even going to attempt.
Nia Tamama Lolo.
Yes, very good. Coach Ken.
Just make sure you get the Lola at the end there, then everything else sounds fine.
Yeah, exactly. Coach Ken said that Perry is actually the best ball carrier in all my years of being here at Navy.
Which is saying a lot.
Because they've had some good quarterbacks, running backs, slot backs, whatever they want to call them. Some good runners, rushers. So.
And okay, Navy isn't as good as they have been in years past, but they're good on the offensive side of the ball. They're scoring 33 points per game. They're rushing for close to 400 yards per game, 370 yards. They're rushing for a ton of yards. But the problem is their defense is giving up a lot of points, giving up 30 points per game, and that's where the difference is going to be, because I don't think against Notre Dame, I don't think Navy is going to be able to score touchdowns every time.
Yeah. And Mike Elko has had success against triple option. He's never played Navy, but like Brian Kalen mentioned, you know, that was part of the vetting process. In his interview, they asked him about the triple option because obviously you're going to play Navy every year and you might have another triple option come in the same year. But he did have success against Army, played them each year he was at Wake Forest, and did pretty good. They beat Wake Forest 3 years he was there, 21-13, 17-14.
Wake Forest beat Army every year?
Yeah, and 24-21. The first year they gave up 21. Second year they gave up 14, and then the last year they gave up 13. So it kept getting better each year.
So against Navy, they should give up about 12 points?
They should. There's so many questions around this team right now.
Well, Vegas expects Notre Dame to bounce back. They're favored by 18 points. Okay. Depends where you look, 17.5, 18.5. So Notre Dame's favored big. And Notre Dame, this could go one of two ways. I mean, Notre Dame could bounce back. I think they definitely still have the talent on the team. I don't think anything happened to that. One thing that Brian Kelly, every week it seems the running back situation is better than it was the week before. And he again pointed that out that, oh yeah, Josh Adams, he hasn't looked this good all season. That isn't verbatim, but he did say the running back situation looks better than it has all year.
They've been in better condition than they have been all year.
But before we get into the different position groups for Notre Dame, the problem with playing Navy is that they take up so much time off the clock. Last year, Notre Dame had 6 possessions, and they lost a game. And Notre Dame scored on a lot of those possessions. Let me find the right tab here where I had this information.
Well, that it's hard to predict this game just because it often comes. There's a lot less possessions in these games.
And okay, in 2016 Notre Dame had 6 possessions against Navy, and I was just looking at how many possessions the opposing team has had versus Navy this season. The last 6 opponents have SMU had 12, Temple had 8, UCF had 11, Memphis had 12, Air Force had 13, Tulsa had 11. So definitely these other teams have been getting more possessions than, and that was an insanely low amount of possessions. But and Notre Dame was scoring on them. That's the thing that was frustrating, because Notre Dame's offense was able to score, but the defense just wasn't able to. This is how it breaks down. In the first half, it was touchdown Notre Dame, field goal Notre Dame, punt Notre Dame, and then a touchdown Notre Dame. So at the after the half, Notre Dame had 4 possessions and they had 17 points. They were leading Navy. Navy had 2 touchdowns, and they basically had 3 possessions. They had 30 seconds left on the clock when they got the ball back at the end of the half. They ran 2 plays. But basically, they had three possessions in the first half. They had a touchdown, and then I think I said punt, but it ended on downs on their second drive, and then they had a touchdown on their third drive. So 14-17, Notre Dame's ahead. Second half, Notre Dame has two possessions, and they score on both of them. They score a touchdown, and then they score on a field goal. And Navy had three possessions, and they scored touchdowns on both of their possessions. And then the end of the game, they had a 14-play, 7.5-minute drive. It only went 57 yards, but they just ran out the clock.
Yeah.
And you remember that feeling of just hopelessness where the defense just could not stop them.
There's nothing you could do.
I think, yeah. And Brian Kelly even mentioned that one of the problems was that, well, they need to score touchdowns instead of field goals. And the defense needs to step up and get some stops. Notre Dame can't score touchdowns every single possession against Navy.
Well, this is what worries me a little bit. Well, their defense isn't as good as what it has been. And teams have had success lately. It seems like they've figured it out. They're playing more man-to-man defense, and teams have kind of figured it out. You know, they switched up at the beginning of the year, and now they've gone 1-3 in their last four games. But the thing that worries me a little bit, or gives Navy a better chance, is we saw what happens when Notre Dame does not get a turnover. Like, this defense needs turnovers. They're going to give up yards, but they force turnovers. That's how they always come back, and so it looks better because they force turnovers.
Well, Notre Dame's not going to – I mean, it's unlikely Notre Dame's going to get an interception. I mean, it could happen. They do throw it, and I think Navy on this season, I think they're about 8-8 as far as touchdown passes, touchdown interceptions.
They have 9 receiving touchdowns.
And how many interceptions?
I'm not sure. Let me see. 8. Yeah.
Yeah. So they throw about as many touchdowns as interceptions, but Notre Dame's probably not gonna get an interception.
Well, so their second leading receiver was Malcolm Perry, and with 10 receptions, 267 yards. Well, he's obviously not the receiver if he's quarterback, and if he's hurt, right there goes a third of your receptions on the year. So they do have Tyler Carmona is the number one receiver. He has 12 receptions, 333 yards, and he's a big guy. From what Michael James said, you know, in the NFL, he would probably be a tight end. But they like these big guys, and so somebody else has to step up if they're going to have to throw the ball.
I think this is a little bit different than normal as far as, well, what are the keys to the game? The first two that I have are very normal. You got to stop the run.
What, against Navy?
And then the second one is field position. Unlike Miami, make them march the entire length of the field, which Navy can do, but Mike Elko's defense has a much better chance of either getting a fourth down stop, which there's going to be a lot of fourth downs that Navy's going to go for.
Yeah,
or forcing a turnover just by the more plays that are run, the more chances there are for Notre Dame to get a turnover. And then the third one is, and this is the one that we don't normally talk about, but is scoring touchdowns on every possession, which Brian Klein mentioned. Because yeah, you're right. If you score a touchdown every possession, Notre Dame will probably win the game unless they just turn the ball over. But Notre Dame should have success. Notre Dame will have success offensively
because they'll be able to run the ball.
They always do. Notre Dame always is able to score on Navy. The problem is that they aren't able to stop Navy's offense.
Yeah.
So, Mike Elko can, I think, win a lot of hearts back by stopping Navy, because that is something that Brian Van Gorder, he did okay versus Georgia Tech in 2015. But then again, in Navy, 2015 was a struggle. It was kind of an up and down thing. So he can get off to a good start.
But they had been doing good until last year again. They kind of figured it out.
They had kind of figured it out until Navy
spent more time with Navy. Notre Dame had preferred walk on quarterback come in to run the triple option, and I don't know. Maybe Alohi Gilman will be able to.
Well,
help
I was
him
thinking
out.
We should just ask or try to get one of the transfer one of their quarterbacks over.
From Notre Navy.
Yeah, Notre Dame just do that every year. Just take their try to request their top, which I'm sure they probably wouldn't want to, but
yeah. Well, yeah, Aloe Gilman should be able to give the defense some tips on how to stop the
not as much as Mike Elko. I mean, Mike Elko has experienced this. Oh, I know,
but it's still good when the players
we've talked about this before. In high school...
That's true. A lot of them do run that in high school.
Maybe not some of like the big high schools, but definitely the smaller high schools, they run the football and play option football.
Yeah.
It's not as complex as what Navy does and not executed like Navy executes it, but the concepts are still there.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you have my keys to the game.
Well, there are something to add to the game is the last home game of the year, so it is senior day. There's 26 guys. There are 26 seniors. You know, some of them do have the option of coming back. But the players know it as well. Wimbush had sent out an Instagram picture. You know, we're going to get this for, I think he mentioned.
For Quentin.
Nelson and the other seniors. And so they know this. A lot of these guys, this is their last game at Notre Dame. And I think they'll be able, you know, they're bigger than what Navy is, and they can run the ball. One big thing is there is a chance of rain. So it's good that both these teams like to run the ball because there's a good chance it will be raining on Saturday. Hmm. Which is bad because I'm planning to be at the game.
It's not supposed to be freezing, though. I looked at the forecast. I think it's supposed to be in the 50s, yeah. upper 40s, or around 50. So, which, yeah, it's not warm. It won't be a warm rain, but it won't be a freezing rain either. You said you are going to the game on Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely won't be going to the game.
I'm taking the guys from work, so. I guess if you come get a job this week, we'll take you to the game.
Okay, are you ready to go through the different position groups?
Sure.
Did Brian Kelly mention anything big picture that wouldn't fit in any of the position groups that we wanted to talk about?
One thing that I did think was interesting, you know, they tried to, it was Pete Sampson, he was asking about the environment, kind of tried to get him to say something about the environment at Miami. But I think Brian Kelly did a good job of it and said, no, you know, that had nothing to do with it. He didn't hear it from the players. You know, this was just, it's on them. He took the blame for it and said, no, you know, it's execution, just different things. It was on them. They're not going to, obviously they're not blaming the environment.
Which I do think it factored into it. I think it was a big factor, but it could have prepared for it better.
Yeah, but he's taking the blame for it.
Yeah.
He's not trying to put it on other things.
Yeah.
He said, Brian Kelly said, you know, hey, you know, he was asked some tough questions. He was even asked, you know, oh, what about your demeanor being different after the game? I'm like, kind of done. Like, what do you expect? I mean, they lost. Of course, he's not going to be as excited and happy as he was the last couple of years. It's obvious. I mean, a couple of weeks. But he said, hey,
I thought the question was different from the Georgia loss.
Oh, maybe it was.
Because then he said, every time you lose. His answer was something about every time you lose, we're always disappointed, or
yeah,
I forget what he said.
But he also mentioned that 2 weeks ago he was up for Coach of the Year, and now it's all about firebk.com.
Yeah, and I wanted to check that. Was that an actual website, or did he just...
I don't know. I hope not. If it is, they should be reported.
There is already a website called firebk.com.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's not about Brian Kelly.
Okay. I was going to say, let's not even go into that.
It's Firebrick is the name of the company, Firebrick Consulting. They help business-to-business technology companies accelerate revenue growth through game-changing positioning strategies.
So maybe Brian Kelly just did a quick Google search. Like, oh, look at this.
So let's go through the different position groups. And offensive line, this is going to be the last home game for former McGlinchey and almost definitely Quentin Nelson as well.
And Mustafer, well, he could leave, but he's planning to come back.
From what
this is not his senior day.
From what he, yeah.
But Nelson could come back if he'd want to. Hey, we'll see if he has unfinished
business. He does have unfinished business.
But I don't know why. He's the highest rated guard. They're rating him as one of the highest rated guards to come out.
I hope. I would love for him to come back, but if it were me, if I were in his shoes, I wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, offensive line, anything to discuss about that?
Not really. I think they're going to step up their game. They know they didn't do good last week, and it is senior day. McClinchy says it's just another football game. He'll probably hit him when they're singing the alma mater after the game. But I think they're going to go out there and show Notre Dame fans what they're made of.
I think so, too. But let's not forget who the opponent is. Because,
well,
I mean, it could look like Notre Dame, man, they really bounced back.
Well,
and the offensive line is playing so much better. But remember who we're playing. We're playing Navy. We're not playing,
you know. I'm not saying that this, they'll be like, you can rank them a lot higher because of how they play. But they'll go out there and make sure that they're not beat by Navy.
Getting back to who they have been all season, which is dominating lesser opponents, no question, and matching and usually dominating competition that's equal to them.
No, I'm not saying that they'll be, you know, just play somewhere. They're going to make sure that they don't get beat.
And then let's go to the tight ends. This could be Alize Max. I mean, he's not a senior, but this could
don't say it. Don't say it. That's why I wish I was wrong on this, but all the hype before the season, he'll be here this year and then he'll be gone. Like, it was just expected that he'd be gone after this year.
I know. I definitely bought in.
I didn't. I tried to tell you before the season started. But I did figure he produced a little more than he did.
So even he didn't even meet my expectations.
Even
lower than your low expectations. I still think next year could be a huge year for him, but I definitely have been disappointed, and I'm not as high as I had been.
Well, he still has a lot of potential.
Yeah,
that's what the hype is around. It's potential. He just has to show it.
But Jerm Smythe, it is his senior day.
Yeah,
and Nick Wisher as well, I believe.
Wisher could come back, I think, but I mean, he is a senior.
All right, wide receivers. I mean, this has been such just a hit and miss, up and down season. 2 weeks ago, Chase had an incredible game, 180 yards, and then pretty much disappeared and dropped a first down catch against Miami. But you did have EQ.
He stepped EQ up and had a good game. Up.
And again, I think Stefferson has been the most consistent since our last 4 weeks. Maybe even five. I forget now when he came. He came back in week five or the fifth game. But I think out of the last 4 weeks, he's been the most consistent wide receiver as a player, because he also runs the football, and he's been effective doing that. And early in the year, Chase Claypool had some of those runs, and he wasn't nearly as effective as what Stefferson was. And he's getting extra yards by making people miss and falling forward to get those extra yards. And it's not because of his weight. It's because he's making guys miss.
Yeah, and Stefferson actually led the team in pass breakups last week, which is good for him and horrible for the defense.
I don't think there were any by the defensive players.
I don't think so, because he just had one. And while we're talking about the receivers, I will throw this in there. I did do an interview with John Brown, EQ's dad, and we'll probably release that on Sunday, so it'll be after the game. But it'll be a good podcast for you guys to listen to next week when you're traveling to Thanksgiving. But you need to listen to it. It's very good. It starts out like a little bit like it sounds like he's promoting his protein, but listen to it, and I'll give you a little bit of detail. He knows all about raising athletes. This was all planned, from finding a wife, how he did that, from even changing their last name on the day they were born because it looked better. St. Brown looked better on a jersey than Brown. So he had this all planned out. He talks about the strength and conditioning, and he even mentions how much worse, how much weaker EQ was after his first, or the first time he came home from Notre Dame. So definitely check that out. Watch for that. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm Randall. Randall was talking about it, and I wasn't on the interview, but it definitely sounds interesting and good, and I'm looking forward to hearing it.
And you can even, he sells his protein now, by the way. So,
and I'm sure. I mean, does he tell us where to find that?
Yeah, he does. And get this, he says you don't need to eat clean. He says you need sugar, you need fat, you need all of that. He said you need to eat dirty is what you need to do. So, anyways,
all right, running backs. Brian Kelly, according to Brian Kelly, we're in the best shape. We're in the
better condition
than we've been all season. So, Josh Adams, Dexter Williams looks better than he has. He didn't mention Tony Jones.
That doesn't
mean
he's 100%.
He didn't mention Tony Jones Jr. But on Dexter, I thought he never got to full speed against Miami. But
it's hard to tell if he was 100. But
he, in the first few steps, he looked good.
Yeah. I want to see what Josh Adams. I want to see him come out and break off some runs. The last 2 weeks had just been weird weeks for him. I don't know if he's hurt more than we think. It's almost. Do you remember how it was with CJ Procise at the end of the year? He just couldn't stay in there for very long, and there's just always some nagging.
Well, Josh Adams was like this for a big part of last year too.
True,
more at the beginning.
So I want to see if he's actually healthy, and I think if he is, he should have a lot of success running the ball.
All right, and then Brandon Wimbush.
Hopefully they get back to letting him run the football.
And I still contest that his mind was not right against Miami. And
he's a first-year starting quarterback.
I know. I'm giving him the opportunity to grow. Because first-time starters, I mean, I know it's the end of the season, and I wish he would have progressed quicker than what he has. But
well, see, I think part of the problem, there was so much hype around him before the season started. Even last year, there was comments about, oh, he's got the strongest arm on the team, and that was with Kaiser and Zaire on the team. And we heard all this hype about Wimbush.
And he sounds like a great practice player, at least from what the media has seen.
Yeah.
It looks like he's been doing it in practice, but just doing it.
Oh, I'm not saying he had. I think he was doing it in practice.
Yeah.
He did look good, but there was a lot of hype on him coming in and that he was the next big thing. And it's taken longer for him to get to that level than what we all hoped for.
I wonder, his 3 years have not been normal for a normal quarterback. Normally, it's redshirt year one, and then backup quarterback come in after in the blowouts in year two, and then start the third year. And for him, he came in as a freshman as a backup because he had to.
Yeah.
And then he didn't play at all last year, and then this year he was thrown into it. I don't think it's really an excuse. But I think it would have been better if he would have just totally redshirted at year one.
His first year.
And been able to play a little bit last year, get his feet wet, and then then jump into the starting role this year.
I agree. But I do like the fact that he had a couple years. I wish we get that point where all the quarterbacks in Notre Dame could do that. Sit for, 2 years, get their redshirt in.
I would like to get to the point where our quarterbacks are NFL caliber quarterbacks, and after year three, they're headed off to the NFL.
Yeah. That'd be great. I like your plan.
Okay. But Brandon Wimbush.
But here's the thing with Wimbush. Look at all the things he has done. I mean, he's broken Notre Dame records, rushing records for a quarterback. I mean, we're just kind of down on him because his pass. I mean, that's a bad part of his game, and it's not actually that bad. I mean, he only has, what, 4 interceptions of the year now?
Yeah, it's
not, in 10 games.
But I think the problem is that where it could have been.
I know
they would have either been touchdown passes or converting necessary first downs.
it could have changed the game last week if he would have made some of those throws.
Well, and same thing against Georgia too.
Yeah.
If he would have been able to connect more often.
Yeah. But he's going to get better. He's going to continue to get better. And his hand, you know, they said it didn't bother him, but when I rewatched the game, you could see they did show how he was taking the ball. When he was under center, he did take the snaps different than normal.
Really?
Yeah, they did show that.
Well, Brian Kelly was asked about it. Did you hear his response to it?
Yeah, he said it didn't bother him.
Yeah.
But they did show it during the broadcast.
How do you know it was different?
They zoomed in and how he took the ball from, instead of like in both hands, he kind of grabbed it with his right hand and then put it in his left. Okay. Not much of a difference, but he did have a little bit of an issue. I mean, it was different taking it from under center. Luckily, it didn't cause any issues.
Yeah.
But it was obviously bothering him some.
Okay. All right, let's move over to defense then. Defensive line.
Well, this will be Andrew Trumbetti's last game. So it seems like he's been around for a long time.
Could be Jay Hayes last year. I mean, I expect him to come back.
But. Yeah. But, yeah, not too much on the defensive line. They need to make sure that they can, that the middle of the line holds up against this Navy offense.
Yeah, and I think the linebackers are going to play a huge part in that, exploding through the gaps and making sure that they, if there are double teams, that they have to disengage, and then that middle will soften up a little to help out Notre Dame's interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
The good thing is that there probably won't be a ton of snaps, so the guys, I mean, it'll be physical for the defensive linemen, but you know, we probably won't be seeing 80 snaps or however many it was against Wake Forest. Linebackers, okay, so this is where there's going to be a lot of changes. Or
next year.
Next year. Yeah, Niles Morgan, Greer.
Their last games.
And Drew Tranquil, I mean, he's also a senior. I mean, he could come back, definitely. And I think a lot of people expect him to, but who knows?
And Greer was talked, you know, or was asked about, you know, this being his last game and when he started, because he actually made his first start against Navy. Remember when he first started playing, he was the triple option guy. And he had a lot of success. So do you expect to see, and we've seen what Coney's been doing, but do you think he's still that triple option guy and will get a lot more playing time this week?
I'm curious to see how they line up.
Yeah.
But I do think that he'll be part of it. And probably what helped make him just a great player against Navy is just he probably had a better understanding of the concept, what Navy was trying to do, than some of the other linebackers. Now,
well, here's where the this is his type of game, because it's more about making the right move than just making the athletic play.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows, he understands this offense and knows where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to do. And so this is his type of game.
And yeah, I'm sure Tavon has been doing great. But I do think that we'll see more of Greer than we had seen up to this point, that we have seen the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And he also mentioned that he had bought, or when he was asked what he wanted for Christmas, when he was, I forget how old he said he was, but he asked for a Notre Dame sweatshirt. Something just, it wasn't like they were a Notre Dame fan. He said they just always stuck out to him when him and his dad watched football on Saturdays. That was one team he, like, well, it ended up he came to Notre Dame. So, see, there's a guy that he's kind of the opposite of, which Andrew Trumbetti's been here for 5 years, but with Martini, it actually doesn't seem that long since he's been here. I don't think it does.
It doesn't.
So,
it seems like Drew Tranquil's been here a while, but he's been playing quite a bit, but then he'd get hurt.
Probably because there's a lot of waiting involved with him. It always seems like, oh, he's out for the year.
All right. Cornerbacks.
I think they'll do. This should be a good week for like Sean Crawford, just being able to play close to the line. I mean,
but do you think he'll play that much?
I think he will.
They're never going to put out three wide receivers.
Yeah, but they can use him in the backfield, up close to the line.
Maybe
he's a physical guy, even though he's small.
He is physical, and he's a smart football player, no question about that. But I just didn't think, I feared we'd see Julian Love and either Nick Watkins or Troy Pride, and pretty much, unless, maybe they'll have a rotation for those two spots.
I'd see Crawford out before Pride, and
I don't think we'll see with three cornerbacks, though.
No. But we'll have to see.
And then safeties, Brian Kelly said that Coleman, they were really happy with what he's done this whole season. He was asked about, I think, just how happy they were with his move from cornerback. And then Brian Kelly mentioned, he started out as a starter last year, and then got demoted. And so now he's been a starter this whole year, and Brian Kelly's been very happy with him. And I'm sure there were spells where he missed some tackles, but for the most part, I think everyone should be really happy with Nick Coleman.
Yeah, well, he had mentioned earlier in the year about how they slowly brought him back, started on special teams, and yeah, he's made a nice recovery after, was it the Texas game where he got pulled last year,
mm-hmm.
and just seemed he didn't recover from that all year. So,
all right. Do you think we'll see Drew Tranquil back as in more of a safety role?
Oh, you mean for this game?
Yeah.
I don't know. That is a possibility. I hadn't even really thought about that, but if they would use him as a safety, they could have Coney.
Then you maybe could
Martini.
Use both Coney and Martini, possibly.
That is something to watch.
Either way, Notre Dame's offense is going to score points. You can't expect them. You can't hold them to a standard of scoring touchdowns every possession.
But you should. We will. Oh,
I mean, they should hold themselves to that standard. Yeah. But as a fan with common sense, you can't expect that. So this is going to come down to the defense needs to make some plays. The last six quarters, the defense, they've been put in some bad situations, no question. But they have been giving up points, and they have not been forcing turnovers the way they had been. And again, a lot of that against Miami was because of some really bad field position that they were put into. And it's going to be tough and different to do this. Maybe I shouldn't say tough. It's going to be different doing this against Navy than a traditional type of offense that Notre Dame would normally face. Anyway, let's talk about our final thoughts and score predictions.
You want to go first? You want me to?
Well, I guess I'll finish it up. I was pretty much kind of giving my final thoughts, and then Notre Dame is going to win this game.
Isn't it crazy how 1 week has kind of changed everything?
It is.
We're back to, should we believe in Notre Dame?
Well, a lot of fans don't, especially if you're over reading on the forums. And by the way, you should read, I wanted to plug Solon's article over on the website, irishsportstalk.net. Article after the Miami game, and just some positive thoughts on the game as a whole. Check it out, where Notre Dame turns following the South Beach Stunner. And check out the forums too, forums.irishsportstalk.net. All right, so I've kind of given my thoughts on the game. I've given my keys to the game. Number one, of course, stop the ball, of course. And then number two, field position. If you're not going to stop the run, special teams, offense, let's help our defense out by giving Navy as long a field as possible, giving them at least 75 yards to go. None of this 40 or 50 yards type stuff. And then the third one is, well, offense, it is back to you. Just score a touchdown every single time. Then in the final possession of the game, we'll just go for two.
Yeah.
Okay, so score prediction, I don't think it's going to come down to that. I think it's going to be, I mean, Navy is going to score points. They're going to move the ball. But I don't think Notre Dame's going to be held to as few possessions as they were last year, six possessions. I just don't see that happening. With how many other teams have been getting possessions, I mean, most of the time they're getting more than 10, 11, yeah. and often more than 11. So I think Notre Dame will come away with the win. I think it's going to be 38-27 Notre Dame. So I don't think Notre Dame covers the spread.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, I think I'm not going quite as high as you are because I don't think there'll be quite as many possessions. It's just they're both running the ball. Both teams are running the ball. And hopefully Notre Dame can get a lead and force Navy to try to throw it. And that's where they could get their turnovers. But I think Notre Dame is going to have success running the ball against Navy because of what has happened last week. And Notre Dame is bigger and stronger than what Navy is. And they should. This offensive line is going to create holes for the running backs. And I think Brandon Wimbush will have success running the ball as well. And we'll get back to, you know, a couple hundred yards rushing. I think Notre Dame's going to win 34-17. I mean, Navy is going to score points. Right, maybe so, I'm just saying 17, but they are going to score points.
So you still don't have them Notre Dame covering the spread because that was at least 17.5 points.
Okay, yeah, right there.
All right.
I just don't think they have enough possessions to do that.
You mean Navy? Or Notre Dame.
They'll just both teams, period.
All right.
Can you believe it's the last home game of the year?
I can't, but honestly, I'm glad. I'm getting burned out.
You have too many other things going on.
I know, but they're better. Driving good
out of state.
Hey, they're better things.
To visit but your friend.
I'm looking forward to putting this season at rest, getting into the off season, and then starting over.
I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. They have a lot to play for. This season is not over with. Notre Dame needs to win a big bowl game. They've never done it. They need to do it. And it's been a couple years since Notre Dame has actually ended the season with a win.
You mean if you include bowl games?
Yeah. So, you know, there's two more weeks. Stanford's coming up, but Notre Dame can try to regain trust from the fans. I mean, they have three games to do it, and very likely, you know, Stanford's a big game, but the bowl game will very likely be a big matchup.
Yeah.
Just because it is Notre Dame, they always end up with, it seems like they always end up with good, especially with this record. Yeah.
All right, thank you guys for listening. And check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.